Hey everybody, it's Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community. Thank you so much for tuning into the Outlet Community Podcast. We pray that you are able to experience the power of authentic relationships. If you're ever in the Atlanta area, we'd love to have you out. Just simply visit theoutlet.cc for more information of our service location and times. Well, sit back, relax, and enjoy this life-giving message. Heart Check. This series centers around, I believe, the most important part of our spirituality and our life, and that is our heart. Often we make judgments on things that we can see and sometimes miss the opportunities to investigate and to examine the areas of our life in which we can't. And before I get into today's message, if it's your first time here at the Outlet, could you wave at me just so I can say, hey, God bless y'all. Come on, can we give it up? Hey, y'all. Good to see everybody. God bless you all. Thank you so much for being here today. At the end of our service, we'll have some time out in the lobby where we'd love to just shake your hand and get to know a little bit more about who you are and where you've come from on today. My wife and I would love to do that. Also, if you're following along in today's message, you can do so in the YouVersion Bible app. Just search the Outlet Community. But I want to hop into our two text scriptures for this series that we'll be in for the next couple of weeks and moving on down in the progression of this series on Heart Check, and that is Psalm 26 and 2 and Psalm 139, 23, verses 23 and 24. Amen. Amen. I want to welcome all of the parents with your children here in the auditorium today. Right now, during this holiday season, we're giving our volunteer leaders just a time to break because it's been a long year and we want to keep them fresh going into the new year. So I'm mindful that you have your child with you today. So I'll be sure to observe hashtag Falcon Rules and get us out in an appropriate time. Psalm 26 and 2. And this is David saying, put me on trial, O Lord, and cross-examine me, test my motives and my heart. Psalm 139, 23, and 24, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Verse 24, point out anything in me that offends you and lead me in the path of everlasting life. Father, in these moments that we have before Thanksgiving, as we go deeper into examining the condition of our heart, Lord, I'm trusting in you to be the one who does the heart surgery that's here today. Speak to every heart, speak to every life. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I was studying this week's message, and last week we began talking about the four emotions that will rob you of the quality of your life. We dealt with the first two of guilt and anger. We also gave you two habits to counteract those two emotions of confession or having a safe space where you can vent and have an outlet. And then number two, learning how to walk in forgiveness. I believe that's extremely important because as long as we're here on this earth, there are going to be opportunities for someone to rub us the wrong way, say the wrong thing. And I consider this series almost like your holiday survival kit because as you're going to different parties, gatherings, you know, we want to make sure that as people who have heard the word that comes from the outlet, whether you're here in person or online, that we aren't the ones to set it off this holiday season. Okay. I said we're not going to be the ones to set it off. All right, we're going to do some heart surgery then today because I appreciate your honesty and we will go further. How many of you in children's church or in church have heard of the story of the prodigal son before? It's a very loving Bible story. It's something that reminds us when we feel like we've fallen away from God that we're never too far away from his love. But this morning, as we delve into the third emotion that has the temptation to rob us of the quality of our life. And I'm not going to do two today. I'm only going to do one because what we're going to talk about today, I kind of want to set it with you, leave it with you, have you meditate on it. And then the next time I stand before you all, we're going to deal with the fourth emotion. But I want to talk more specifically, not about the prodigal son, but I want to talk about the prodigal father. See, often the story is told from the perspective of the son that decided to go to his dad. And in Luke 15, it was a parable that Jesus told where a son said, look, I am tired of living in this house. I'm tired of everything that you provided for me. Give me my inheritance and let me live my life. And so the son goes away and begins to live his life, and two things happen. Not only does he go through his money, but then hard economic times hits where he is. So he has one thing that he could control and something else that he couldn't. Well, after he hit hard times for a period of time, he said, you know, I could be treated better than my father's servants. Maybe I can go, instead of being a son or a daughter or a child, maybe I can be a part of the hired help of or the servants of the house. How many of you have ever felt like, you know, I knew what I was doing was not right, and, you know that I need to make a change? And how many of you have had that thought in your heart that I don't know if God is going to receive me back because I made some mistakes I knew I shouldn't have been making? Well, the story of the prodigal father shows you not so much about the mistakes of the son, but about the heart of God toward you, so that when you feel down on yourself and when you feel like you've messed up, when you feel like you've made mistakes, you have the love of God to carry you and sustain you. You see, the word prodigal means one who spends or gives lavishly and foolishly. Now, how many of you all have had a blessing in your life where you were like, I know it was nothing but the Lord who gave me this blessing. I know I did not deserve this. I know this was not something that I earned. I know it was something that I couldn't have been good enough for. Well, in those moments, God is living up to his character of being one who's prodigal, one who gives lavishly, one who gives, come on now, sometimes foolishly. Some of us know how we really are when no one else is looking around. Some of us know that, you know, the places that you've been in, the positions that you've been in, the times you've been called on, there were probably other people who were more qualified. There were other people who had the better educational skills, had the better connections, but somehow you found yourself in that place, in that room. And if it was us who was God, we would say it was foolish. But God, looking at us, said, it's not foolish. It's wise that I bless you the way that I do. He also yields in abundance. The word says every single morning his mercies are new every day. Now, that's slightly different than the house I grew up in. When my mother made a meal the night before, she was not about to make another large meal the next day. You see, it's if I cook for you and I put my foot in it, and if there's anything left over, then you're gonna eat the leftovers. But God, who yields abundantly, says that I know I gave you more grace. I know I gave you more mercy. I know I gave you more favor than you deserved, than you needed. I know you even used a lot and there was still some more left over. But you know what? I don't want you to use the leftovers from yesterday. I want to give you something today that is brand new and fresh for the assignment that I have for you. So that's the heart of God. And that's the focal point of this story in Luke 15. I want to encourage you later on to go and read that story in its totality. But for the sake of time, I'm going to pick up after the father runs to meet the son who willingly ran away from him. I'm just thinking about how I was raised, right? And if I messed up, I could just hear my mother say, I'm not about to run after you now. You're going to come here, but I'm not coming to you. Anybody else grow up with that mom or dad in your house that if you met, look, I'm coming. You better come to me. I'm not coming to you. What was so humiliating is that in that town, to run towards someone was to put yourself in a position of servitude. In fact, when a son in those days decided to leave the household, he was supposed to be banished from the entire community. He was supposed to be banished from the entire village. But instead, the father, who had means, because not only did he have sons, but he also had servants, plural, that took care of the household. Not only did he have means, but he was willing to risk being made fun of for how he loved on the son that didn't deserve it. And I want to talk to your heart this morning, where I don't know what's going on in your life and how you may feel right now like God is distant from you. You know those pullings on the inside of you that are like, hey, I want to spend some more time with you. It's really God's love running towards you. And I want you this morning to just receive that love. I want you this morning to receive a brand new dose of his favor on your life. I want you to receive another wave of God's grace, not because you deserve it, but because your heavenly Father is the one who spends or gives lavishly and foolishly, and he yields abundantly. Luke 15, verse 25. And this is like a good real House Brothers of the Middle East right here. It's now talking about the older brother who was back at the crib. And most times we look at the older brother and say, ah, the older brother, he at least he was at the house, but you know, he had a bad attitude. I want you to notice something during this time of year, that both children, the one who left and the one who stayed, both didn't appreciate what the father provided for the both of them. I'm going to show it to you. Meanwhile, in verse 25, it says, meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. And when he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants, what in the world is going on? They said, your brother's back. He was told. And your father, now they were petty. You know how it is. You know how you got some good juicy information. Your brother back. And your father has killed the fattened calf. And we're celebrating his safe return. I want to show y'all something. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. Huh. Instead of celebrating the good that happened, he thought about the good he was missing out on. And so today, I really want you, the title of today's message is simply Lessons in Gratitude. And the whole point behind all of this is that I want you to focus on the faithfulness of God rather than failure and disappointment. Can we do a quick exercise this morning, y'all? All right. This week, you know, we like our honesty hours. Anybody felt like heavy or weighed down with just responsibility, life, stress? You got a lot to do. Just by a show of hands. By a show of hands. All right. And when that was happening, you were constantly thinking about what you didn't have to meet what was in your mind going on. All right. So we were focusing on the disappointment of not having what we think that we need. Or we're focusing on the failure of either ourselves or others that put us in the situation that we're in. Can we do a quick exercise today? I want you to think about in your life, every time it looked dark and you didn't go under. I want you to think about that. Get that in your mind. I want you to think about when you knew you needed God in a way that only you knew you needed him. And somehow in your heart, you sensed that he was there. Do you all have that in your mind? Can you in your mind for a moment think about the fact that people counted you out long before you thought about they counted you out today, but yet you're still going, and you're still moving, and you're still doing all that God has put you on this earth to do? Have you all been able to do that just now? Have you all sensed a shift in your perspective about what's going on? That's what we need to have on a daily basis, because if not, we'll end up like the older brother who, when they found out his younger brother came back, was angry. How come he was angry? Well, I think one of the emotions were triggered. Again, last week we talked about guilt, which says, I owe you. Anger says, you owe me. Today, we're going to talk about what the older brother experienced, which was jealousy, which says, I ain't hating that my older brother's alive, and I'm glad they killed a fatted calf for him, but what about me? Envy is more of the hater definition. Envy says, since I don't have it, you shouldn't have it. Jealousy says, I don't mind that you have it, but how come I don't have it? And jealousy is something that we have a hard time admitting to because we believe that's a other person problem. That's for someone else. In fact, when I said jealousy in your mind, you thought about somebody else who was jealous of you, as opposed to thinking of the moments and times where you were jealous of others. See, jealousy says, God, I'm mad at you. But it's easier to blame someone else when we're really upset with God. I'm not going to ask you right now who currently is upset with God, because I know you would feel like it's blasphemous, but he know. But I want us this Thanksgiving season to begin to examine where in our life we feel like we're missing out and God has favored someone else more. Jealousy comes from comparison. Comparison comes from pride. Pride makes us self-righteous. Meaning, according to my standard, I should be a lot further than I am right now. According to my standard and all, God, that I've done for you, I'm living right for you. And these folk who ain't thinking about you seem like they live in their hashtag best life. And jealousy robs you of the habit we're going to talk about today, which is gratitude. Let's talk about gratitude just for a moment. When it comes to your life, I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about one area in your life that, if it improved, you would feel better about your circumstances and feel in more gratitude to God. Like, if this were to change, I could see myself being a lot more grateful than I am right now. Now, who has that area in your mind? Just by showing, who has that area in your mind? Come on, be honest. Who has that area in your mind where, if I could, if this one area, you're lying to yourself, that won't make you more grateful. Nothing external will change the condition of your internal heart. And so we have to be honest with God when we say, I would be more grateful if we're being honest, if I wasn't so mad at you, God. Why is life so hard for me? Why am I going through all of this? But it's easier to look at someone else's life and say, well, they probably did this, they probably did, that's why they, as opposed to owning in your heart what really is driving you. Now, I want us now to look at the foundation of gratitude, because we really need to gain concept with this. Verse 28, the older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, and this is the older brother, all these years, I kind of heard all my life, all these years, I've slaved for you, and you never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. Never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. God, I did everything you said. And in all that time, you never gave me not one young goat for a feast with my friend. Verse 30. Now watch how it gets in his heart. Jealousy gets in his heart. Yet when this son of yours, y'all know parents, you know, when they're in the house and one of the kids acting bad and they don't want to claim their half of the genetic code, they like, your son. All right, your mama too. All right, listen. Yell at me. Jealousy now has got a grip so hard on the older brother's life that he now is severing the closest relationships to him. No longer is he saying, I'm so happy my brother is safe. He could only think about what he was doing right in comparison to what his own flesh and blood wasn't doing right. And he lost sight on the fact that both of them had the same blessing given to them by their prodigal father. See, jealousy will cause you to get into a self-righteous campaign where when someone says that they have a certain accomplishment, then you feel this inner desire to begin to list your resume as well. Well, you know, I washed 3 cars. Well, I actually washed 7, and I did it with only 1 towel. Like, we feel the need to justify ourselves because we don't feel like we've been justified freely by God. See, the foundation of gratitude is found in the father's response in verse 31. He said, look, my dear son, you've always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. Everything he had. The issue with the older son is that he approached a father who was freely trying to give him something with a slave mentality to try to earn everything that was already his. And when I'm jealous, I'm negating that God already blessed me with the very thing that I'm hating on somebody for having. And it's a lack of gratitude. I want to show you why in verse 32. And this is the foundation of gratitude this week. And I pray it's beyond just Thursday. But I hope that when you start feeling some type of way, you can dwindle all the way back down to the very basic point of gratitude. It is not, let me tell you, it is not anything external. If you live a little, experience a little, you'll know that material possessions will not bring you lasting happiness. Verse 32, it says, we had to celebrate this day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he's found. The key to a grateful heart. This is what I want you to hold on to. The key to a grateful heart is realizing each day from where you've come from. Can somebody just join me real quick and think about where you used to be in life? Can somebody join me and think about how hopeless life was apart from God? Can you think about how much in despair you were without knowing the Lord? And what happens is the longer we begin to know God and the longer that we begin to digest information and sermons and series and books, you get so much knowledge that you forsake the essence of who God truly is. You begin to get into formulas and you begin to lose out on faith. And because your 1 + 1 didn't equal your 2, you start questioning, is God really a person of his character? So there's power in gratitude. Gratitude is simply the quality of being thankful. It's a readiness to show appreciation and to return kindness. Being grateful is for more than just you. Because being a complainer affects more than just you. Complaining leads to a critical spirit. And a critical spirit tries to find what's wrong about everything. A critical spirit erodes at the root of healthy relationships. And a critical spirit starts because we lack the gratitude of knowing that the very life you're walking in was at one time the life you prayed for. It honestly hurts my heart to see people who on Facebook say, can y'all get in faith with me for this job? I'm believing y'all get in faith with me for this job. And then 6 months into the job, y'all, I hope they fire me tomorrow. I'm going to walk out. See if they're going to say something. And you lose sight that the life you have today, you prayed for that life. The spouse you're sitting next to today, at one time, you prayed for that spouse. You know, Facebook has a way of reminding you how in love you really were. And because we lose sight, because now we're walking in jealousy saying, God, you owe me better than what I can see right now. And God every day is saying, everything that I have is already yours. But I believe we have to learn how to be grateful in even the worst of situations. I believe that being grateful starts at an early age. I'm not against spoiling your children, your grandchildren. I'm not. In fact, one thing Ash and I are talking about as we're planning a family, we realize that the moment we have a child, we cut off. Like, no more gifts from our parents. We've been together a long time. They've been real good to us. But we have to keep in mind that even from an early age, that outside of Jesus Christ, which is everything we need, nothing is owed to us. We think that if we get $2.38 more an hour, we will appreciate our job more. No, think about how it was when you didn't have a job. Think about how it was when you didn't know Christ. You didn't have his hope on the inside of your heart and your life. Think about how it was when you first became born again. And there was a hunger and a desire to know and grow more because you realized how desperate you were without him. But sometimes we can take God's graciousness as a weakness instead of receiving his goodness as a privilege of being a son and a daughter of God. I'm going to go on a little honesty hour. I personally have a pet peeve against pastors who talk about their parishioners. It's a pet peeve, especially on Facebook. Those jokes aren't funny. Because until you remember what it was like to believe for every single face in the room, you'll treat every person as a gift from God. I want us to remember before you had all the creature comforts that you have today. I want the young people to think about what if they were born on the other side of the ocean where there is no data or Wi-Fi or high-speed internet or Fortnite. I want you all to think about if you didn't have hot water, cold water, a running shower where you are. I want you to think about if you only had one outfit and one pair of shoes. I want you to think about what it would be like if you only made $35 a day for an entire year. How life would be different, yet if you made $35 a day an entire year, you would be richer than 65% of the world. So we look at God with hashtag rich people problems. Oh my gosh, can you believe it? I can afford all this cable. They want $7.99 more. Oh, I just don't have that. What? It's not three for $29.99? Ugh, oh, I'm moving on somewhere else. What, you want to pay me 22 and not 25 an hour? Who do you think I am, a pauper? How dare you give me these measly health benefits? And just think about what you really deserve with your life choices. And your life is far better than your choices. And if that in of itself is not enough, every time we have an opportunity to give God glory, to say thank you, then I'm sorry, but you have a heart condition. You do understand that this life that you live is not your own. And if you had to, for a day, feel the weight of what it means to carry the brunt of all of your decisions, there would be a greater dependence on who God is in your life. So for us, myself included, to wake up and not just say, thank you, God, for allowing me to see another day. Thank you, Lord, that I'm able to be in my right mind. Thank you, Lord, for seeing me through. Can we just stand on our feet? I just think we just need to just thank the Lord. It's like we've rocked ourselves to sleep with excess. And we forget about the basics. I don't ever want to take God for granted. I don't ever want to take his goodness for granted. I don't ever want to take the relationships that are in my life for granted. I don't ever want to take standing up here and being able to share with you the word of God for granted. And the only way to do that is to focus totally on what God has already given to us. I want to prepare our hearts right now to receive communion. So if our care team can get into place. On this Thanksgiving celebration, a lot less preachy than I thought. But I think it's a time of remembrance, but also a time of personal repentance. And I need to lead the way for not being appreciative of the small things. Not telling God thank you for the small things. Anybody have a possession that is to you priceless? By show of hands, anybody have any possession that, I mean, it's your priceless possession? And let's just say, you allow me to borrow your priceless possession. Do you have any rules or guidelines for me? Anybody? Any rules or guidelines? What's up? Give it back the way you got it. All right. What's up? Don't touch it. Don't sell it. What's up? Guard it with your life. What else? Don't let nobody else take advantage of it. You mess it up, you got to replace it. Do you know that your life does not belong to you? It belongs to God, and He's allowing us to steward these brief moments that we have. In the same way we are with our priceless possession, in God's eyes, you're His priceless possession. So guard it with your life. Don't let anyone take advantage of it.